No one can keep a secret forever. Jessica Killian wanted to make a loving home for the daughter she lost to heartbreak.
Since the day that our daughter was born, that's all she's ever wanted to do. She was a really good mom.
But when a sexy secret spirals out of control, she becomes ensnared in a deadly web of deceit.
There was so much Jessica wasn't confiding in friends. Maybe she was lying about everything.
A twisted tale of sex and desperation.
Now,
I have a daughter,
Seth,
please.
I don't care.
Leaves the truth buried under a mountain of shocking secrets.
Who do you think you are? You asked for this.
I was in complete shock. I could not imagine why anybody would ever do something like that.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's the fall of 2010. And Jessica Rae Killian has recently moved back to her hometown of Hermiston, Oregon, in the aftermath of a failed love affair.
She was in a relationship with her little girl's dad, and that wasn't working out. Jessica came back to Oregon to try to make a life of her own.
Jessica is determined to build that new life so she can regain custody of her 8-year-old daughter, who still lives in Hawaii with her father.
Hi, honey.
Guess what? I passed my test.
Oh, you did?
She was a really good mom. She loved her daughter a lot. And I think that she had the idea that if she came back to the mainland, she could get back on her feet, maybe.
The separation for Jessica was very difficult. She had a very loving relationship with her daughter.
I love you too.
When am I going to see you again?
Whatever it takes, I'm gonna find a way for us to be together, all right?
Jessica lands a great job bartending at one of the town's popular hangouts. An encouraging first step toward making money and building a new life her daughter can be part of. With the job going well, Jessica also gets her love life back in the saddle.
We'll probably have a friend.
She drops hints to her friends and family that she's met a new man.
He's just this really great guy. He's so sweet.
You seem to be just grinning ear to ear about this guy.
The gentleman that she was seeing, Steve, when she mentioned his name, her eyes kind of lit up.
His name is Steve. He's just a really nice guy.
But all love-struck Jessica will reveal about her new man is that Steve's in law enforcement. She'll tell people more when she's ready.
I knew they were friends. I knew they had gone to dinner, maybe had a drink. But other than that, I knew nothing about him.
She was excited about her new beau, but having had a pretty miserable failure in Hawaii, she wasn't eager to rush into things and make herself a public couple. In the comfort and companion of a young man was a small reward for the hard work that she was doing to rebuild her life.
With a good job and a new love, it seems as though all the pieces of Jessica's dream are falling into place.
That's all she ever wanted in life, was to be loved and to have her daughter back.
But on October 2nd, 2010, that dream comes to a sudden and mysterious end. Shortly after Jessica shows up for a shift at the bar, she vanishes. Co-workers search the cafe, but no one can find her.
She did her normal routine, and then all of a sudden, almost immediately, she was missing. She was just gone.
Where's Jessica?
I don't know. I just saw her a little while ago.
Okay, she's not downstairs?
No, this is really bizarre.
It was a routine for her to just kind of duck out without saying something to somebody.
Stranger still, her car is sitting in the parking lot. And when her co-workers try calling Jessica's cell phone, they find it's been turned off. But what's most troubling of all is the discovery they make next. In the back room, the cafe's safe is empty. It appears they've been robbed.
Jessica had access to the safe as one of her responsibilities at the cafe. And then the safe is empty, and Jessica has vanished.
$11,000 in cash is missing. When police arrive, employees tell them they're worried that a burglar may have forced Jessica to open the safe and then abducted her.
Open the safe. Open it!
Please, please don't shoot me.
I will if you don't do what I say. Get it!
Okay.
Money in the bag. Okay. Money in the bag.
There was rumor that they thought maybe she had been kidnapped or held at gunpoint.
Please don't shoot me.
It seemed out of character for Jessica. So what other choices or alternatives were there?
Go!
But police on the scene find no evidence of a break-in or even a struggle. They question Jessica's co-workers, but none of them noticed anything out of the ordinary that morning.
It was as normal morning as always.
And Jessica, they say, appeared completely at ease.
The one thing that co-workers made a comment about was she came in smiling and happy.
I came in, I see her, we're just delighted to get the day started.
From all intents and purposes, it seemed like there was nothing out of the ordinary, at least going into that morning.
But as police hear more about the missing mom's quest to be reunited with her daughter,
I miss you, Mommy.
I miss you.
They wonder if the robbery abduction angle is all wrong. Maybe Jessica's desperation to be with her child,
I miss you so much,
has driven her to theft.
The only motive that anybody could think of is that she had this child in Hawaii, and she'd got to see her rarely. Everyone just assumed that she took that money so that she could get to Hawaii and be close to her daughter.
You have to ask, was Jessica motivated by desperation? Did the separation from her daughter get to her? And did she decide to just take that money so she could be with her daughter again?
But if Jessica stole the money, why would she leave her car behind? Police wonder, did she have a getaway driver?
She must have been picked up from someone because her vehicle was left in the parking lot. She had left the area with someone else.
Perhaps her new boyfriend, Steve. Police ask co-workers what they know about Jessica's new man, but they don't have any information to share.
What about this guy? You know anything about him? Have you met him?
His name is Steve, and she said that he's a cop. And she really didn't say much about him, and every time we talked about him, you know, she just smiled and blushed a lot.
I knew his profession, and that was it. Steve was in law enforcement in a small county in Oregon, but other than that, I really don't know a whole lot about him.
A policeman boyfriend seems an unlikely accomplice, and those who know Jessica best are adamant that she didn't steal from the cafe.
My sister is not a thief. She's not a liar. She's not a scumbag.
But police know that desperation can push a mother to do anything. And when detectives start probing deeper into Jessica's life, they find troubling signs that she's been planning to disappear.
She has canceled her cell phone service, she's canceled her email provider, and she's done some other kinds of things like that, as if she was leaving town.
Police alert nearby airports, hoping to catch the runaway bartender before she boards a plane to rejoin her daughter once and for all.
What is she doing with that money? One option is she just sold the money to try to get a plane ticket. So you're going to want to watch that area to see if she's taken off to Hawaii, because that was something that would have made sense.
Investigators also run a criminal background check on Jessica. And what turns up catches police off guard. This seemingly squeaky clean single mom has a secret, and it's a dirty one.
Jessica's life at this point was one huge secret. She left her coworkers and her friends in the dark. They had no idea what was going on. She kept all of this very secret.
Jessica Killian has suddenly disappeared from her bartending job, along with nearly $11,000 in cash. Police suspect the desperate single mom may have fled to be closer to the child she lost in a messy breakup.
Mommy, I really miss you.
Just hang in there, okay?
There was some speculation that she wanted to be with her daughter.
I'm gonna find a way to get you back here, okay?
But a background check on the missing mom reveals that seeing her daughter may not be the motive behind this crime. It seems this isn't Jessica Killian's first run-in with the law. She's already on probation after forging prescriptions for some powerful narcotics.
She had a drug history. She had a criminal record for that. It made her kind of sketchy. She was a good suspect for this burglary.
It's never clear what someone who is motivated by addiction is capable of doing. Generally, morality goes out the window when addiction comes in.
Could Jessica's disappearance and the missing cash be related to a secret drug addiction that's begun consuming her life?
It's very possible that she was still addicted to drugs. And when money comes up missing and one employee happens to have a criminal history, she's a pretty viable suspect for that.
Did you notice anything strange about her?
When investigators raise the possibility with friends and family that Jessica's an addict,
we have evidence that she was addicted to painkillers.
They're shocked by the news.
No, not Jessica.
They tell police that if Jessica has a drug problem, they don't know about it.
I don't even know what to say.
As far as I know, she wasn't actively using any prescription pills. It didn't seem like it was drug related.
But detectives suspect Jessica's been living a double life.
Someone with a history of a drug conviction is also someone who's going to be suspected for being untruthful. Jessica is not who she seems.
With Jessica nowhere to be found, police focused their attention on her new love interest, Steve. The mysterious cop boyfriend no one has met.
Nobody knew anything about him.
But I do want to meet him.
We're always telling our sisters things, and Jessica hid him from everyone. For the first time ever, Jessica kept a secret from everybody in her family.
Why would Jessica be so secretive about her new lover unless he was somehow involved in Jessica's plan to disappear? Police attempt to track down the mystery boyfriend, but without a last name, a description, or the name of the police department Steve works for, it seems like a long shot.
Steve's a relatively common name, and I don't think they had a clue who really he might have been with, or if he was with a local agency or someone who was coming in out of town.
Police wonder, does Jessica's Steve even exist? Perhaps he's just a lie she invented to convince her friends and family that she's getting her life back on track.
I was not even expecting it after everything, too. But he's sweet. You would really like him.
There was so much Jessica wasn't confiding in friends that maybe she'd been lying about this man, Steve, and being in law enforcement. Maybe she was lying about everything.
The investigation is rapidly approaching a standstill. But 2 days later, a local farmhand makes a gruesome discovery.
It was a worker who happened upon a body, a woman, and at the scene, there was some money scattered about.
Detectives rush to the scene and confirm their awful suspicions. They've found Jessica Rae Killian.
She's laying on her stomach. She's been shot in the back and shot in the head. And here's this luggage and this cash strewn all around. This is a horrifying discovery.
Jessica's friends and family are in a state of disbelief. In just a couple of days, they've watched this seemingly happy single mom go from suspected thief to drug addict, and now murder victim.
I was in complete shock. I could not imagine why anybody would ever do something like that to Jessica.
She is the last person that would ever be a murder victim. It didn't make sense to me.
Please, please put the gun down.
The only thing that I could think of was what the hell was my sister doing in her life that got her killed.
Police initially suspect it's Jessica's secret history with drugs that led to this tragic outcome.
Listen, you owe me a lot of money, lady.
Yeah, I have the money for you, okay?
We do see a lot of drug deals go bad in our area.
Just tell me where to meet you and I'll meet you, okay?
Whether it's fighting over the drugs or fighting over the money.
They really feel this is some kind of a drug deal gone bad.
You've been promising me for weeks.
I know, I'm sorry. I really do have
I need the money now.
But there's a problem with that theory. If this is some kind of drug deal gone wrong, why is there still so much money lying around?
Whoever had murdered her would have wanted to take the money. They wouldn't have left it behind.
The abandoned cash also puts an end to the theory that Jessica was forced to rob the cafe at gunpoint.
Here, fill the bag. Fill it.
What was the motivation? If you're gonna rob the cafe, you're gonna take the money.
Go.
There seems to be only one motive for murder that makes sense.
I've never known about her to have an enemy in the world, but why would there be money around the body unless it was personal?
Please.
Investigators work the crime scene, hoping to find the answer. And that's when one of the officers on scene mentions something interesting.
So weird. My family actually owns this property, but I haven't been here in years.
And that's not all. He thinks he knows Jessica.
You do? I've seen her working at the local bar.
There's a reserve deputy that shows up on the crime. He's actually one of the first guys there. And he says he recognizes the woman who's dead.
In small, close-knit communities like Hermiston, a coincidence like this isn't unusual. But as officers speak with the reserve deputy, they're struck by another coincidence that does seem unusual.
By the way, I don't believe I know you. What's your name?
Steve Crum.
His name is Steve. The same name as Jessica's mystery cop boyfriend.
Her body ends up on the property of Stephen Crum, who is a reserve deputy with the Morrill County Sheriff's Office. Coupled with the fact that she was dating a deputy by the name of Steve, those were obvious things that we looked at as very suspicious.
Is Steve Crum Jessica Killian's mystery lover? The answers might bring police one step closer to catching Jessica's killer. Steve's identity is revealed, and Jessica shares a stunning secret from the grave.
The autopsy results were very shocking. It changed the investigation.
Missing mom Jessica Killian has finally been found. Dead in a remote field littered with stolen cash. A field owned by the family of a reserve deputy named Steve Crum. Could this be the same Steve that Jessica had hinted she was dating before she died?
His name is Steve. He's a cop.
From what his service record shows, it would be surprising.
He was a married man. He was a father of two. He was also a volunteer firefighter and a reserve deputy. He was well-known and well-liked in the community.
Nevertheless, investigators ask Steve to come in for an interview.
Did you know this woman?
I think I've seen her at the bar, the local bar.
I asked him a little bit about how he knew she was, and so he was able to tell me information about her, where she worked.
So you had no type of relationship with her?
I may have said hello, hi.
He said he thought her name was Jessica, and that she worked at the cafe and lounge in town, and he didn't know her very well, but that's who he thought she was.
Steve's claim that he vaguely knew Jessica is certainly plausible.
The cafe is actually a pretty popular place. It wouldn't be surprising if someone knew someone from the cafe.
Everybody knows each other there.
Thank you for your time, Officer Crum.
If there is anything else that I can do to help the investigation, just please let me know.
Police can't find a connection between Steve and Jessica and let him go. But just as detectives move to cross him off their suspect list, the medical examiner's report comes in and reveals a shocking detail that makes them worry they acted too soon.
A single round was recovered from Jessica's skull, which was found to be consistent with a .40 caliber handgun round. At that time, Steven used a .40 caliber handgun as his duty weapon.
For investigators, it's one coincidence too many. They're horrified to have to consider it, but could one of their own be a murderer?
It's hard for law enforcement to investigate one of their own. There's a brotherly and sisterly bond among law enforcement, but it was a .40 caliber bullet that killed Jessica. The same type of ammunition that Deputy Steve had been issued. It's going to arouse the suspicion of law enforcement.
But why would Steve murder a woman he claims he barely knows? Investigators make a discovery at the crime scene that may reveal the answer. Jessica's diary is found among her belongings, page after page of her innermost thoughts. And when detectives delve into it, it becomes clear why she kept her new boyfriend's secret. She's been sleeping with a married man. And it's Steve Crum.
We found information about her relationship with Steve, how it began and how it had blossomed.
Jessica really poured out her heart in her diaries. And she was head over heels, and she called him her soulmate.
Jessica writes that Steve has promised to leave his wife and run away with her.
It's just gonna be you and me and your daughter. We'll start somewhere new.
Jessica knew that Steven was married, but as they continued their relationship, she began to believe that the possibility of them running away together and live together was stronger.
I think that Jessica was very open to receiving any type of bond or relationship or a new situation. She was pretty easy to get in with, and you could very easily become Jessica's friend and maybe become Jessica's boyfriend. She was a very receiving person. Steve Crum became all things on all levels for her. Whatever she needed, whatever he felt like she wanted to hear, he provided. They were gonna run away together and live there with her daughter.
According to the diary, Steve told Jessica all they needed to make their dreams come true was some cash.
if she could find a way to get this money for them, then they could have this wonderful life together.
It seems very likely that she took the money out of the safe at the cafe. She was naive and she was gullible and she was in love with him. And she believed his stories that they were going to have a future together.
But if Jessica and Steve were planning to run away together, why did she end up dead in a field? When the medical examiner finishes Jessica's autopsy, investigators get another surprise, and it may reveal the killer's motive.
Well, the autopsy results show that Jessica was pregnant, that she was several weeks pregnant at the time of her death.
Police theorized that all Steve's promises to Jessica were empty, and he had no intention of ever leaving his wife. But once Jessica became pregnant, did Steve resort to murder to protect his secret?
Steve had everything to lose. He had a great reputation in town. He was married and a father of two young children. He didn't want to lose all of that.
You need to stop.
I'm going to tell your wife because she deserves to know. She needs to know about the baby.
No, you're not. You're going to keep your mouth shut. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to say anything.
Jessica's pregnancy threatened to spoil everything. This had gone way too far.
I'm going to tell everyone about this. They need to know that you got me pregnant.
Only Steve can give detectives the answers they're hunting for. But when they go to bring him back in for further questioning, they get one more shock. Steve Crumbs, nowhere to be found.
They couldn't arrest Steve because he was gone. He vanished.
Their prime suspect has disappeared, and police can't find him anywhere.
At this point, we really didn't have any idea where Steven was.
Police get set to hunt down one of their own. But a ballistics report comes in with more information on the bullets that killed Jessica, and it stops the manhunt in its tracks. To their astonishment, detectives learn that the bullets couldn't have come from Steve Crumb's gun.
We really thought we had a lead in going a specific direction on a murder weapon. Once we recognized the murder weapon couldn't be his, it sort of put us to square one.
But if Steve isn't Jessica's killer, why has he suddenly vanished?
We're discussing what other avenues do we have? What other suspects?
Then it hits them. If Steve isn't responsible for his girlfriend's murder, maybe Steve's wife is.
She'd found out about an affair, if she'd found out that this woman was pregnant with a baby, then she would have good motive.
Obviously, we had to look at Steven's wife as a possible suspect in this.
But before police can bring her in for questioning, she makes a surprising move that no one sees coming. The deputy's wife reveals a treasure trove of secrets, each more shocking than the next.
Steven was living a double life.
I think his relationship revealed who he really was.
Police working the Jessica Killian murder case have learned that she was having an affair with a married sheriff's deputy named Steve Crum. And they wonder if the deputy's wife was the one behind Jessica's brutal slaying.
Detectives thought it might have been a deadly love triangle that the wife found out about her husband having an affair.
You took a vow to me and you're throwing it all away for some slut?
If Steve's wife learned that Jessica was planning to have his baby, did she take deadly steps to end her husband's affair for him?
Could Steve's wife have also been motivated not just by jealousy, but by humiliation? She did not want to be shamed in her small town by her cheating spouse. So to keep her reputation intact, did she kill Jessica?
I won't let you ruin my life. You asked for this.
Investigators want to speak to Mrs. Crumb, but she surprises everyone by approaching them first.
I just found this letter that he left here.
And the story she shares looks like it will close the case.
It looks like a confession.
We're advised that Stephen's wife had located a confession letter from Steve stating that he had committed the murder and he was now on the run.
You're positive he wrote this?
I mean, he signed it.
But police take what they read in the typewritten confession with a grain of salt.
They're very suspicious of it because why would somebody who's committed murder take time to type out a confession? So they don't know if it's really from the wife. Maybe the wife wrote it.
Is Mrs. Crumb trying to frame her husband for his mistress's murder? And where is Deputy Steve? When detectives ask Steve's wife about her whereabouts on the day of the murder, she says she has trouble recalling.
I don't know. I think I was just at home.
That day, her alibi was a little weak. She wasn't real clear about what she'd done that day. She easily could have committed the homicide and been back, and nobody would have known anything because she'd been alone all day.
Steve's wife has just become a prime suspect in Jessica Killian's murder. And it seems more and more likely that she could be behind her own husband's disappearance as well.
I swear, if you talk to or see that Jessica girl ever again, you are a dead man.
Is there a second dead body out there waiting to be discovered?
Steve's wife might have had every motive she needed to kill Jessica and even to kill Steve. If she found out about their affair, that they were getting ready to run away together, that would have been enough motive for her to kill them.
But motive is not proof. So detectives search Steve Crumb's laptop for clues, and there they discover yet another secret. One so dirty, investigators can hardly believe it.
Once we obtained his laptop, we had it processed and discovered that he was on dating websites, pornography websites.
He had a hidden life that nobody knew about. Steve was having a lot of online relationships.
It seems Jessica isn't Steve Crumb's only extramarital affair. He's been satisfying his sexual urges with an endless parade of casual partners. But that's not even Steve's biggest secret. Steve's online history reveals his affairs haven't all been with women. He's also been seeing men.
We knew that he had liaisons with men that he would meet up with out of town.
He's a habitual cheater. He's got an entire secret life that he does God knows what, when. And this is all stuff that he tried to keep under wraps by being this good volunteer police officer.
Who do you think you are?
Did Mrs. Crumb murder Jessica, not realizing she was just the tip of the iceberg? And when she did learn everything, did she decide to take revenge on her husband too?
If you continue, I swear I will kill you.
He had been scouring the internet for other sexual encounters with women and men. Perhaps Steve's wife did not want that to come to light, for it would look badly on her.
You home-wrecking bitch, I swear I will kill you.
But if Steve's wife is behind Jessica Killian's murder, police need proof. They compare the typewritten confession to Steve's online sex site posts, looking for evidence his wife is trying to frame him for murder. But all they get is a shock. The comparison shows she didn't write the confession after all.
One of the things that I noticed in Stephen's letters, though whenever he meant to use the word will, He spelled it W-E-L-L. That seemed very consistent that he transposed those two letters, I and E, in the word will, very routinely.
It looks like Steve Crum's wife was telling the truth. Her husband did indeed type the confession. That means Steve Crum is most likely very much alive. And now near the top of the suspect list. But where is he hiding? Investigators head for the one place they know Steve Crum routinely goes. Cyberspace. And all the seedy online places where he goes trolling for sex. Before long, the strategy pays off.
Steve wasn't someone who was able to control his impulses. Steve was driven by his compulsions to satisfy his desires. His addiction to social media was the way that police actually found him.
Eventually, we're able to track Steven by his access of the internet at different locations he was at.
Officers make contact with Steve online and try to talk him into turning himself in.
Basically, the sheriff said, you've got to come home, Steve. You've got to come home.
The undersheriff knew him and messages him and basically says, you know, the longer you do this, the worse it's going to be for you.
Steve says he's willing to come home. But detectives have doubts. Will Steve Crum really turn himself in? Or will police have to start a nationwide manhunt to get their man? There's one more secret to come. The case against Steve Crum starts to fall apart when police realize they may have the wrong man.
The whole crime was about masking secrets. Killing Jessica was a way to mask over a fantasy world someone was wanting to live in.
Investigators on the Jessica Killian murder case have tracked down her fugitive boyfriend, Steve Crum, by following him into the seedy online world of sexual fetishes he can't resist.
He had a completely secret life that no one knew about. This other life where he's on dating websites and seeking out women and men and pornography. And just a completely different life with men that he would meet up with.
Detectives persuade Steve to turn himself in. And once in custody, he endures hours of interrogation about the murder of Jessica Killian.
I'm not lying to you. I've told you what I know. It's the truth.
He admits to being there when Jessica died and says he's responsible.
It's my fault, but I didn't kill her.
How is it your fault?
It's more complicated than that.
He insists someone else killed her. His story doesn't make sense, but he won't give the cops any more details.
Police actually tell him at one point, you know, what you're telling us and the evidence at the scene, they do not add up.
Tell us.
Steve doesn't give police the level of detail that they're looking for. There is something strange about his statement to police.
Police think Steve's holding back from telling them what happened and that they'll just have to break him. But just as police are considering a change of tactics, everything shifts again. New evidence threatens to undo the entire case and set Steve Crum free.
After Steve is in custody and under arrest for the murder of Jessica, the sheriff's department begins to get these strange letters. The author of the letter says that Steve is innocent and that he knows who actually killed Jessica.
The letters, signed Bullfrog, are from someone boasting that he's actually Jessica Killian's murderer. But if Bullfrog is Jessica's killer, why did Steve Crum write a confession and then run? Bullfrog's detailed letter has an answer for that, too. Because he forced Steve to.
this bullfrog threatened Stephen, that if he didn't take the blame for the murder, that Stephen's family would be harmed.
If what Bullfrog says is true, police have arrested an innocent man. But something doesn't sit right with investigators. Why would Bullfrog come forward now, when he was just about to get away with murder? To find out, they must uncover Bullfrog's true identity.
We began to look into the origin of these Bullfrog letters. The postmark came from the Portland area. We continued to research it and found out that Stephen had a cellmate who had recently gotten out of jail.
I should be out soon.
You recognize that letter?
When police locate Steve's ex-cellmate, he quickly admits that he's behind the Bullfrog letters.
I'm trying to do the right thing in my life. I didn't kill anybody.
He's just a friend of Steve's, and he quickly spills his secrets.
He paid me. He gave me a few dollars to write this letter.
He explains that he had done something really dumb. He admitted that he had mailed the letters for Stephen.
Kept pushing and pushing.
Bullfrog says the letters he sent were Steve Crumb's last-ditch effort to save his hide.
I'll set all of it up.
Steve Crumb tells Bullfrog exactly what the letters need to say, gives very specific instructions to this friend on how to do it and who to send it to.
Steve Crumb's sad, desperate attempt to shift suspicion has failed.
He thinks he is smarter than everyone else. It was so transparent, and it was fairly easy to trace back to him. I can manipulate everyone to believe what he wants them to believe, and he really thought that he could do it.
Steve hired Bullfrog to write the letters to take suspicion off of him. Clever, deceitful, but ultimately, it didn't work.
Now that all his secrets are finally in the open, Steve Crumb knows the game is over. He pleads guilty and is sentenced to 30 years to life for the murder of Jessica Killian.
You are not going to tell anyone my secrets.
Please don't kill me.
It's too late now. Turn around. Turn around.
I think what strikes me most about this case is how close he came to getting away with it. How well he hid who he really was. He was capable of cold-blooded murder. With no remorse, no feeling, no nothing. And that to me is really chilling.
Jessica Killian thought she'd finally found her knight in shining armor. But instead, her Prince Charming turned out to be a masterful manipulator who'd stop at nothing to hide his twisted bisexual secrets.
It was clear she was calling out and crying out, somebody love me. Somebody love me for who I am. Somebody find me valuable and not throw me away. And the sad thing is she invested all of that in Steve Crumb